Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Center. We're in the Southern Bank Core Studio here at Oak Grove, Mississippi. Chilly Oak Grove, I should add. Opening segment sponsored today and every day by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. We appreciate Justin Harris and all the great guys at Dickie's. It's a great place to go have dinner with your family any night of the week and a great place to cater your next event. Whether it may be a New Year's Eve party, you probably maybe still have time, but check them out. Dickie's does a great job catering, and we really appreciate all they do on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're going to go to New Orleans a little later in the program, talk to Patrick McGee about the surging New Orleans Saints. Man, did they turn things around. About to bring our good buddy Jack Duggan on real quickly, though, Kelly, and we'll get into more detail later in the hour. But Southern Miss on the road last night at LSU and take it on the chin from the Tigers.
Yeah, LSU was just too strong inside, and it didn't help the Eagles that they only shot, 30% from the field, if that much. We'll break down the numbers a little bit later on. But still trying to find themselves without Tavares and the three-point shooting, which had been pretty good. The last couple of games also fell off last night. So you add all those together, that's a recipe.
His injury is very significant, isn't it?
Well, he might be back in February, but then the question is, okay, he'd be ready to play in February, but is he going to be 100% right, practice-wise and so on? Takes you a little while to tune up after that, too.
That's something people overlook in every sport. I was explaining this to my wife, who's suddenly become a big NFL fan, that at this time of the year, the teams doing the best, generally speaking, are the teams that have the most healthy players. Is that not right?
Especially at the quarterback position.
Correct, yeah.
So, and when you look at all the NFL teams now, I dare say that maybe 50% even have their starting quarterbacks available to them. Yeah. As much as the NFL changes rules to protect the quarterbacks, they're still getting thrown around. It's a pretty brutal sport.
Yes.
Tough way to make a living.
Talk more about the NFL later, but now let's get back to Southern Miss. And who better to talk to than our buddy Jack Duggan, Sports Information Director, University. And Jack, happy holidays to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys. Sitting here looking forward to the new year.
Yep, me too. All right, now Jack, I want to get right to it. Going to keep you for a little while if you got time. Nobody studies the athletic department more than you. I mean, it's obviously your job. I'd like for you to give us what you think, starting with number three, were the three most significant sports stories at Southern Miss in 2025.
The top three. I've got top three. I think the first one that comes off, maybe top of my head probably is, the women's golf run, where they won the Sun Belt Championship last spring and then end up making their first appearance in the NCAA tournament. I think that's probably number two or number three, rather, three or four in that. I don't know if I rank them top five in that order, but that's one of the first ones that jumped to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Right. Give me a couple more.
All right. Well, I've got obviously the baseball team going 47-16 last year. Hosting their fourth regional, unfortunately falling to Miami on the final day, but what a great season for Coach Ostrander in his second year leading the program. Just a wonderful season, a wonderful year by you know, a bunch of guys, including J.B. Middleton, who was a Connerly Trophy winner last year. And if I remember correctly, guys, it's been so long ago, but, you know, just a wonderful season by him and a bunch of guys that got together and won 47 games, you know, for Coach Oz and that club. You know, yeah, I think another story you look at is you know, celebrating the career of Joy Lee McNellis, who, you know, retired at the end of last year, and then unfortunately we lost her a little bit after that. But, you know, just, you know, what she meant to women's basketball, you know, for the incredible amount of time that she was a part of the program, not only as a player, but as an assistant coach and then as a head coach, and, you know, the mark that she left on that program. I think those are probably three stories. Another one would be, you know, the resurgence of our football team, you know, winning five straight at one point during the year, you know, jumping out to a 7-2 record, and then you know, Coach Huff leaving for Memphis, and then Coach Anderson stepping in to run the program. I think those are probably your biggest stories of the year, if I had to guess.
Jack, when was Charles Huff officially hired? I can't remember.
I think around December the 8th, I think was, you know, you get the, hey, you know, Memphis is targeting, he's going to take it, and then, you know, you know, somewhere around that time, I think it was about December the 8th, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
the 7th or the 8th.
Okay, so that actually would have been a 2024 story, I guess, theoretically.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant when he was hired at Memphis.
No.
Yeah, his hire was in 24. That would have been a 24 story.
Okay.
He was hired right around, you know, that first, second week in December of 24.
Jack, is it fair to say that and obviously baseball enjoyed another great season, but man, I think the golf teams, 2025 was really a solid year for golf.
It really was. I mean, you look at, you know, I didn't even think, you know, I think a season's in full, their full capacity, but if you look at the fall season that the men's golf program had, they were phenomenal, and they're on pace to break several school records, you know, if they keep up the way that they're playing. And I think you guys had Jake Moffitt on the other day, mm-hmm. and you know, what a great young man, freshman for that program. And you know, I just think, you know, just both programs, I mean, they're just really, really on an upsurge right now.
Jack, Kelly, I was out. Kelly was telling me about that interview, and he made such a great offer. He's a wonderful kid, in case people haven't met him. But Kelly said, this kid is a golf phenom, but doesn't really know it.
Yeah, I don't know him that well. You know, I just have seen his numbers, and his numbers have been, you know, really, just really incredibly outstanding. You know, I think, what was the, he won a tournament, not too long ago.
Yeah, he won the International Amateur by 7 shots down in Palm Harbor, Florida. And this is a freshman from Ripley, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Who played golf on the luxurious, gorgeous Ripley Country Club.
Because COVID hit, and he wanted to get out of the house, is what he told us.
And just
started swinging a golf club, and I said, man, you played some of the best amateurs in the world. And he said, yeah, I just don't think they were very good.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's that kind of quiet confidence that you know, those golfers need. I mean, their biggest competitor is themselves.
Right.
You know, and that's why I gave up golf a long time ago.
Jack, last minute or so left in this segment, we're going to hold you over if you're willing. But I want to go back for just a moment to the Joy Lee McNellis story, because obviously that was the emotional story of the year. I think that's fair to say. All of us that knew her were certainly affected by her in a very positive way when she was alive, and, you know, in obviously a sad way when she passed. But when we look back, it's really going to be hard not to put her on that quote-unquote Mount Rushmore of Southern Miss coaches through the years, because she was here so long, played here, coached here, will have a forever impact on Southern Miss athletics. Yes.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. You know, in the lexicon of Southern Miss, you know, head coaches. I mean, you know, Bauer, Turk, James,
right.
Hallman.
Marshall Bell.
I think. Marshall Bell, yeah. And you know, I would think that Joylee McNellis would certainly be, you know, among that group. And you know, just what a wonderful job she did leading that program. I remember yesterday, you know, going, well, my family just absolutely enjoyed going to see him, especially during that run around 2016 where they made it to the Final Four of the WNIT.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my wife and my two daughters they had signs made, and they went, and they, I don't think they missed a game that season, and they had a blast. They when we played Michigan here, I know that you know, they cooked out, and that's just kind of the things that Joylee was able to accomplish, coaching basketball here at Southern Miss.
She almost literally died doing what she loved to do.
True. Hey, we're talking to Jack Duggan, Sports Information Director and very good friend of ours on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. That was 2025. Let's look ahead to 2026, and we'll see what our buddy has in his mind about what we can anticipate in the coming year. Stay with us, everybody.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Glad you're with us on a sunny, cold afternoon. Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the show. And that's where former Golden Eagle baseball star Matt Warren and his staff work. They invite you to see them for premium Goodyear products. Full service auto and truck service is all at Eagle Tire West. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985, Eagle Tire West, they're huge Southern Miss supporters. They sell Goodyear tires, full service work, and again, they really do support the Golden Eagles. As just Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of our program, Genesis sedans and SUVs are all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. It's right here in Hattiesburg, Highway 98 West, and we sure appreciate everything those guys do. Don't forget about our podcast, Alexa or Siri will play it for you, or you could go to Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube, and pick up the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and that's the way thousands of people every month find it.
Although we did try it one time, right out here, and she wouldn't do it for me. She wouldn't do it for me.
And it worked for Michael Murgas. It was astonishing.
Yeah, Alexa says, I recognize your voice.
Yes.
You are legally not allowed to speak to anyone.
To me.
Yes.
Jack Duggan is with us. He's not surprised by any of that. He knows Kelly. All right, Jack, we kind of covered 2025. Let's look ahead to 2026. Obviously, a big story is going to be Blake Anderson and the rebuilding job that he is going to have to do. Number of players have now entered the transfer portal, and a lot graduated, and it's just the new status of college athletics. But that's got to be a big, big story in 2026, the beginning of the Blake Anderson era.
I think so. You know, as he continues to, you know, put his staff together as we get ready, you know, the portal opened up on, I guess, January the 2nd. So he definitely hits the ground running, and So it's you know, it's a different world out there, as you guys know, and one that boggles my mind sometimes. But I'm still used to people calling up on 1-800 numbers to figure out who we signed
right.
back in the day.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's when I got started. That's right. How you found out pre-internet about how you know what your signing class looked like. But now it's, you know, you got guys that you know in the portal, and it just comes yeah. it comes fast and furious now. So you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what our 2026 roster looks like, and you know, continuing on the successes that we had in 2025.
Jack, portal day. I'm sorry, Kelly. The portal day's almost become bigger than signing day now.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it just keeps you know, the traditional February signing day is you know, is not what it used to be, unfortunately. It used to be a huge day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now it's just like, you know, it could be a random Thursday where you see it's a social media post about some guy signing. And, you know, I hate it for the kids. It's not as big as it used to be, but, you know, it's still pretty cool deal, you know, chance to go play a sport in college and you know, get a chance to get a degree. So, you know, that's still what it's all about. So you know, it's just sort of a different way to go about it.
And January 2nd, of course, is this coming Friday. So, I mean, it's just right around the corner. But Jack, when realistically will we be seeing some official words out of the university about Blake Anderson's staff hires?
I think sooner rather than later. You know, I would think we'd see something fairly soon on that.
And I would think it's also reasonable to assume, just based on what we know about the coaching profession, that it's a tight fraternity, and that a lot of the guys that he may be bringing in are guys that he's already had existing relationships with. Is that reasonable?
I think that's a reasonable, you know, assumption. You know, I've seen some of the names, but I have not seen all of them, and I wouldn't think that's out of the realm of possibility. And I think that he alluded to that during his press conference, at least for some of the staff members that he thought that he had.
Before we went on the air, Kelly was on the phone with one of our favorite baseball coaches, and he told us baseball practice starts the 19th of next month, so we're actually, it's hard to believe, less than a month away. There's Travis Creel he was talking to.
Yep.
Baseball. That's with the program at the status it's reached, Jack. That's going to be a big story every year. 2026, no different.
Yeah, I mean when we sell as many tickets as we've had over the years, you know, we've. I mean, I don't know how many years in a row we sold out. You know, season tickets. I'm assuming we're close to that. You know, heading into 2026, and it's, you know, we keep doing that. We keep, you know, going to the NCAA postseason. Keep hosting regionals. You know, that is a huge story. Whether you know you like it or not, that's a huge story, and that's, you know, that's it's, you know, one thing to look forward to as we get to the spring. You know, that's a huge story. You know, spring football will be a huge story. You know, we alluded to it earlier. You know, men's and women's golf, that'll be a huge story. You know, then you've got Coach Poole and her softball team. They'll get started here the week before baseball season gets started. So that'll, you know, they have a chance to be, I think really good as well this year. So, you know, a lot of things, you know, it'll come fast and furious, you know, once we get to about the second or third week of January, we got sort of, you know, we're about to hit crossover season where right. men's and women's basketball are hot and heavy, and then all the spring sports are starting. And you know, next thing you know, we'll be into May. But you know, don't count out John Stewart and his track and field program.
Never.
You know, they've been really successful over the last few years, and I you know, Coach Stewart does a heck of a job, and I would think that he would have them ready to go again this spring, both the indoor and the outdoor season. And you know, it's just, there's just a lot of things going on, and you know, I'm just looking forward now that the football season has completed, and you know, other than, you know, getting ready for next year, I mean, you know, it's you know, it's time to, you know, start concentrating on our spring sports, and should be a fun spring to cover if you're, or to watch if you're a Golden Eagle fan.
And Jack, I wanted to ask you, I want you to take off your SID hat and just put on your sports fan hat.
Okay.
With all the college football teams, I think there were 10 in Division I that opted out of their bowl games this year because of coaching changes or transfer portal announcements, whatever. Do you think that the bowl season as we knew it 20 or 25 years ago, that bowls now are going to go the way of the Buffalo and it's all going to be about the playoffs?
I don't know if they'll go by the way of the Buffalo. I think you might see them in a different form, possibly. And look, this is uneducated. I mean, I have no.
Understood.
No one has talked to me about any of this. I mean,
yeah.
This is just kind of me looking at it.
Sure.
You know, like you said, as a fan, you know, I would, you know, I've heard, you know, I've read, you know, some places maybe the bowl games go to the beginning of the year. That wouldn't be a bad idea to do bowl games, you know, where there's still, you know, a big pageantry, but instead of having them in December, maybe you have them in August, or you know, you have them in early, you know.
Yeah,
the third or fourth week in August before the season starts. That would be nice. That would be a nice reward, you know, for a team maybe that you know. I mean,
oh, that's interesting.
It was good the year before, or maybe, you know, maybe what happens is you know the CFP breaks away or the Power Four breaks away, and then all the rest of the teams, you know, play their own championship, or maybe they stay at that level, but they played two different national championships. Who knows? I mean, it keeps evolving, and you know, who would have thought, you know, we would have, 5 years ago we would have had, you know, NIL or rev share or any of that kind of stuff. And I mean, I honestly, I don't know what college athletics will look like 5 years from now.
Well,
all I know is I'll be hopefully close to be retired. That's what I know. That's about the only thing that I know about that whole thing.
The only thing that we can say for certain is that people Bob's age and people my age, we love change.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm not too far behind you guys.
No, you're right.
I long for the days when I could follow a player from his freshman year to his senior year. I don't make any apologies about that. I just think it was a better sport back then.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
You know what? Hey, you know, I'll say this. You know, Braylon Braxton played 1 year for us, and I was happy. I was happy, you know, to have him here for a year. I was proud to be his SID. I enjoyed rooting him on. You know, for me, he will always be a Golden Eagle, just like every other player that was on that roster, you know, this year. Even whether they've been with our program for 1 year or 4 years, you know, to me, they'll always be a Golden Eagle, and I'm thankful for the time that they have put in here in Hattiesburg. And just to be a part of this athletic program.
I don't disagree with that one bit. And we're grateful for you, my friend. We appreciate everything you do all year long to help us. And you know you're more than welcome here anytime.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Hey, you guys have a happy new year to everybody out there that follow Golden Eagle Athletics.
All right. Great Jack Duggan, everybody. Sports Information Director and a big friend of this show, Kelly Sander, on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back with Patrick McGee. And how about those resurging Saints?
Who dat, baby? Who dat?
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. DBAT on Hardy Street, baseball, softball training. A lot of camps coming up, no question about that. And with spring baseball right around the corner, and that's hard to believe it, it is right around the corner. Now would be the time to take the kiddos down to DBAT and work them out, Kelly.
A lot of those softball and baseball tournaments start in mid-February, and right. You're going, gosh, but it's so cold. But remember, right. DBAT, you're inside.
That's
in
right.
A state-of-the-art facility. So, no, it's a perfect time to get ready.
All right, as we head into the new year, Forest Health reminds you now to keep up with the most important player on the team, and that's you. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. We're lucky to have them here, ForestHealth.org.
And you got, boy, Mr. Getty, your blood work and everything checking out
today,
A-OK, huh?
Yeah, so far, so good. So probably bad news for a lot of people out there, but...
But you're doing what you're supposed to be
doing.
That's
exactly right. Patrick McGee is our good friend. He's the sports editor of the Times-Picayune. And, Patrick, it's hard to believe, but we're January will go into year 11, and I think you were on, if not the very first Eagle Hour, certainly the first two or three. You've been with us for 11 years, bro. That seems hard to believe, doesn't it?
Yes, we've all come so far.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly. But Patrick never forgot us, man. He made it to the big time and did not forget us. First person I can ever say that about. That didn't quickly forget about
remember
me.
His roots, right?
Yeah, he remembered his roots. Yeah. We're grateful to you for that. All right, Patrick, we laughed a lot early in the year just about how terrible New Orleans was. But I got to tell you, man, you know, as a guy that follows the Saints and become kind of a fan of the Saints, you got to be optimistic now going into the offseason. It looked like to me that Kellen Moore found his footing as the head coach, and I think the Saints may have found him a quarterback for the future.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Shuck has really got people buzzing about him as a quarterback. And he's doing it, you know, it's four straight wins for the team. It's almost hard to, whenever I say it, it's almost kind of hard to play. But, I mean, Shuck has played the defense has played very well throughout that. But really, Shuck has been the difference for this team. He played some tough teams early on and, you know, took his bumps here or there, but it wasn't awful. And then, you know, he finally just kind of hit his stride. And even whenever the Saints are down, I mean, they were down 13-3 early this last weekend against the Titans, and you just never really thought they were out of it. Mm-hmm. They got a turnover there, Chase Young. And Chase Young has played great.
Yeah.
That's one thing I wanted to mention. But Tyler Shuck right now is really – you see him drop back, and you know you got confidence that that guy is going to find the open receiver, and he's going to put a pass in the right spot. Mm-hmm. He looks like what an NFL quarterback should look like, and he just has all the attributes in terms of size, toughness, strength, speed, athleticism. He just looks the part right now, and it's kind of – you don't know where he's already 26 years old, but you still see a high ceiling in front of this guy.
Yeah, you mentioned Chase Young, and that's interesting to me because I followed him when the Redskins mm-hmm. existed and they drafted him out of Ohio State. And as a Redskin fan, you were always disappointed in him because he had a lot of injuries. He just couldn't stay on the field. This may be, though, the best year he's ever had, right?
Yeah, I think I know he had like 1 year with in Washington where he had a pretty good season. So it's kind of hard to – I don't really know. But, I mean, he's been really good. I think he missed the first four games of the season with an injury. But since he's come in there, he's just looked really healthy. He's, you know, going all out. He's, you know, he's making plays. He's making sacks. He returned he had a strip sack, returned the ball for a touchdown. He's just doing a lot of things that's really interesting. And he seems like he's in a healthy spot mentally also. So if you get him on the field and kind of keep him healthy for over the course of 2 or 3 years, you get a guy that's, you know, a Pro Bowl type player.
He is a physical beast too, isn't he?
Right.
Yeah. When you look at the way that division is going to shake out this weekend with the NFL preordained championship between Carolina and Tampa being played this week, the Saints wins loss wise are only a couple behind, you know, with this last winning streak.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, Patrick, how close is Chris Olave to being an elite receiver if he's not there already?
Well, he looks really good right now. He and Tyler Shuck have built a good chemistry. I think there was time early on where, like, well, when Shuck going to really connect with Olave? But they've really done it in a big way the last, like, 3 weeks. You've got Olave as your number one receiver. It's, you know, who's that number two guy going to be next year? Valet played pretty well when he was in there. He was injured, but I think they need another guy at the receiving corps. And you kind of got to figure out the running back situation. Kamara's kind of hitting that age
right
where he's having a hard time staying on the field. So you got some skill positions that you want to get figured out, but, you know, Saints receivers are dropping a lot of balls. They just didn't seem to be doing great through the first half of the season, but you put Tyler Shuck in there, and suddenly these receivers that are on the field, I mean, you got third. That's what's most impressive about the Saints right now in Tyler Shuck is he's out there playing with third stringers. You know, mm-hmm. you got Olave and Juwan Johnson and tight end, but everybody else is like third string because of injuries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even the offensive line is banged up. So it shows you that Tyler Shuck can carry an offense at times, and that and you don't get many guys in the NFL that are capable of doing that.
Earlier in the year, when the Saints were the punchline of every joke, there was talk that they might entertain the idea of trading Olave, but now I would think that that's a misnomer and that will never happen.
Right, yeah, I think Olave's, they're going to invest in him. He's broken through his, you know, over 1,000 yards this year, stayed on the field. He admitted last year that he had actually thought about retirement because concussions were becoming a problem. But he appears healthy, and you know, it just seems like he's more advanced as a receiver this year, and he's playing with confidence because he knows a quarterback. He has a quarterback that can get him the ball.
All right, the draft is not far off. Where will the Saints look to improve the team via the draft, you think, Patrick, position-wise?
Well, now that, you know, quarterback's kind of off the table, they have the luxury of really going out, and, you know, they could address a variety of positions. I think there's a good chance that they go running back because they kind of need that elite guy that can they can pair with Shuck on the offense. You know, they could also go receiver, but, you know, they're okay with Olave and with other guys. So I think, you know, they could go running back, they could go defensive end, they could go linebacker, they could maybe even go safety. So really, it's, you know, this the way this sets up, the Saints are in a much better position entering the draft because they're not worried about, you know, hey, do we take a quarterback? That's really kind of off the table now. So it's a much better position. It would not surprise me that the Saints go running back, even though it's become less of a trend in the NFL that teams draft running backs up higher in the first round.
So in a sense, one of the things they've got to do, correct me if I'm wrong, they've got to replace some of the aging players on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, DeMario Davis and Cameron Jordan, I think at this point in their career, are capable for maybe going one more year. You know, but they got to treat Kamara, Jordan, you know, DeMario Davis. Those guys have got to be treated like role players going into next year. They cannot be your just guy that you go to every down. You know, they have to really kind of pivot from there. I think all these veterans I'm talking about have played, especially Cam Jordan and DeMario, play very well this year. And Kamara's just having a hard time staying on the field, and he's really hasn't been terribly productive when he's in there. So, yeah, they really do have to address positions where they're starting to age.
And, Patrick, this is not a Saints question, but a New Orleans question all the same with some Southern Miss flavor. What's been the general reaction to Will Hall being named the head coach at Tulane when it was certainly a head-scratcher to a lot of people up in this neck of the woods?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I don't pretend to be really tuned in to the Tulane fan base here, but you know, I think the reaction was underwhelming, probably disappointment. You know, I think everybody thought Tulane could aim a little high. You know,
yeah.
And to bring in Will Hall, who did have a really rough tenure at Southern Miss, nice guy. You know, we want him to succeed,
right?
But it just hasn't happened. So I don't know. I mean, he's going to have a budget, you know, in terms of, you know, NIL, bringing in these transfers. He's going to, you know, have access to a little bit better recruiting circles. But, you know, I don't know. I think everybody here is a little bit skeptical is the best way to put it.
Why do you think they did what they did, Patrick? Because I think you hit it on the head. They have positioned themselves to where that would be a very attractive coaching job.
Right. I think the players went to bat for him. And I think, you know, most of the players that play for Will Hall like Will Hall. You know, most people that know Will Hall like Will Hall. It seems like they kind of panicked whenever their first guy turned them down, who was Blake Baker, the LSU defensive coordinator. He decided to stay at LSU. It didn't seem like they didn't really have a backup. Everybody kind of thought Will Hall was maybe fourth or fifth down the pecking order, and next thing you know, he's the head coach. So I don't know. I mean, I don't have insight on what happened in terms of the search, but it felt like they just decided we got to get this done now or we're in bad shape.
All right, last question, about 40 seconds left. Has the drama calmed down in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Kiffin will give us plenty of drama over the next 12 months. But as of now, I mean, nothing can compare to the drama from November. I think that's lasted, you know, it felt like about a year's worth of, I mean, it lasted about 8 weeks, but it just felt like it lasted forever. It was never ending.
So that
things
had
have calmed down.
That had to be the story of 2025 in your neck of the woods now, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was a story that went national, and it was one that you couldn't get a hold of. I mean, we did a great job of covering Wilson and Alexander, really kind of owned things. For us and got some good scoops and stuff, but man, that thing was crazy.
Well, Patrick, I want to say thank you for your contribution all year long, man. We look forward to working with you in 2026. And really hard for us to understate how important a part of the program you've always been, man. We really do appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all having me. Thanks for
it. Patrick McGee, everybody. Sports editor of the Times-Picayune, and I'm happy to say a very good friend of ours. It's been friend day today, Kelly, with the old left-hander and with Patrick McGee.
Oh, we got plenty more friends lined up for the next couple of weeks.
We're going to do our best. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
The Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors the fourth segment of the show. That's how clever we are. Great place to go this weekend. Get some ball games. Get some good food. Check out the Southern Miss memorabilia.
Actually, New Year's Day, Bob, you know, the black-eyed peas and cabbage and all that stuff that goes along. And, of course, the full array of playoff games.
There you go.
There's another school in Mississippi that's involved in those, I hear.
MCS Home Center, home repair, home remodeling, home construction. Everything for your home project, lawn, or garden they've got at MCS Home Center, Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to help you, 7329 Highway 98 West. Hey, got some great guests coming up for you tomorrow. Tomorrow, Carly Makavica is going to join us. She basically runs the show at baseball, in case people don't know.
And the guys will tell you that.
They'll tell you. Coach Oz will tell you that. You know, Carly runs the show.
Yes.
She's a great young lady. She's setting up the banquet to kick off the season and a great event for women that want to learn more about baseball. So we look forward to having Carly on the show. She's always very delightful. Women's basketball coach Missy Bilderback will be joining us Monday. And here's a name for you baseball guys you may remember. He'll be on the show Tuesday. A guy from Yazoo City by the name of J.B. Middleton, who's a very wealthy young man now and coming back on the show.
He'll be here on Tuesday.
We look forward to that very much. We appreciate everybody listening every day. All right, Kelly, on the men, let's go back to basketball a minute.
Yeah.
Lose by 28 last night. In the end, LSU just too big, too strong inside for the Golden Eagles.
Definitely. I mean, a couple of numbers. I'm not normally a big numbers guy, but I just want to cut to the chase, right? I got a little adult ADD. When you look at the shooting percentage, just the overall shooting percentage from the field, Southern Miss just a tick under 31%, and LSU just a tick under 52%. Mm. Now, you're going to beat most everybody shooting 52%, but the thing that jumps out at me about that particular number is what you just talked about. LSU was so strong inside. When you're shooting 52%, it means you're probably getting a lot of shots that are close by the basket. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened last night. The Eagles got pushed around a little bit inside. And because they only were able to muster just a little bit over 30% shooting, it means that the LSU defense was limiting the Eagles to pretty much outside shots that mm-hmm. statistically you're just not going to hit.
Right.
So that really was kind of the tail of the tape. I will say, though, too, when you look at the total number of free throws shot in that game last night.
Way too many.
54.
Way too many.
Free throws shot in that game. And I would contend that people, when they go to a basketball game, and this is to the officials out there, they want to see the teams play. They don't want to see a free throw shooting competition. And I think that compared to any other sport, the officials in basketball can have a more direct impact on the outcome of a game than officials in any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say what you want about that South Carolina game that the Eagles had a chance to win coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
But the whistles were pretty quiet until it looked like South Carolina's victory was anything but certain.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
I could be totally off the mark there, but I'm just to the officials, man, let them play. And yeah, it's going to get physical. It's going to get rough. But again, when both teams are in the bonus with about 12 minutes left to go in whatever half, you're blowing the whistle way too many times.
No, I completely agree. Well, the Golden Eagles, that's done with the preseason now, correct?
That's right.
And they played a rugged preseason schedule. Make no mistake about that. They really stepped up from a competitive standpoint and played tough competition. I am going to go on the record today telling you that I am very optimistic about this team in the Sun Belt.
They're 7-7 overall, 1-1 in conference play, but they come home for like a day, and then they have to turn right around and hit the road again for the Louisiana swing in the Sun Belt. So they're going to play Thursday at Louisiana Monroe. That's New Year's Day. That's a 4 o'clock tip-off over in Monroe. And then they'll continue on to Lafayette, where they will play on Saturday for a 12 noon start. Now, they've already played the Cajuns once.
Most winnable game.
Yes, indeed. So your point is well taken. The Sun Belt is what counts, and those are going to be the games from here on out. And facing Monroe and Louisiana, two teams from the West, two teams that aren't projected to be very, you know, in the race at the end of the year, could be a 3-1 start, which would be a good start for the Eagles. On the women's side, they don't play again until New Year's Day, and that's a New Year's Day tip-off at 6 o'clock at the Greenhouse. They're playing Arkansas State, and then they're at home again on Saturday against Troy, a 2 o'clock tip-off. So the Lady Eagles have had every game at home so far in conference play, where the men are going to have to hit the road now.
All right. We have received a Dema Mixon sighting.
Is that right?
Yeah, he is still around, we understand, and he may make a rare appearance back on the show tomorrow. Is that the information you got?
Well, since he's come back on the Eagle Hour, you know, his social media posts have gone through the roof.
He's become quite the celebrity.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Paparazzi and stuff. He's just getting used to life a celebrity.
He tells us every day what a celebrity he's become. So maybe he can update us on his celebrity status tomorrow.
Dema Mixon rejoining us tomorrow?
In the studio, no less.
Wow.
Can you believe it? Hey, thanks to everybody that listens to the show every day. We really, really do appreciate it. Whether it's on the podcast or terrestrial radio, however you find us, thank you. It's been a great year. We're going to wrap it up with a couple of good more shows for you the rest of the year and then kick off 2026. Back tomorrow, 1 o'clock, and Carly Makavica will be joining us. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.